Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm broadcasting to you live from Los Angeles. And my guest today, Wendy Warren, is in Texas. And we are going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, and I know for many of you listening, one of yours, and that is dogs. But we're going to be talking about a very special dog. In fact, that's what Wendy has written a book about, Angel with a Tail. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I just absolutely adore Angel with a Tail. In fact, I have to let my listeners know in advance, they better have a box of Kleenex as they get towards a certain portion in your book, because believe me, your eyes will just leak like a river. And it's just an incredible story, one that absolutely touches one's heart. And it is about your German Shepherd, Sabri. And correct me if I'm saying it wrong, but I believe his name was S-A-B-R-E?
Yes, but it's sort of a play on the spelling, and it's pronounced Saber.
Okay, would you say that for me one more time?
It's actually pronounced Saber.
Saber, like, okay, gotcha. All right. So even though it's spelled a little different, it's pronounced Saber. Wendy, you have really had a passion for animals, but tell us a little bit about your background. What is it that you have been involved with for so much of your life, and how is it that Saber came into your life?
Well, I think the earliest memory that I had, was my dad buying me two rabbits. And, of course, they were wild. But on the one-hour trip back home, by the time we got there, they were tame. And my parents always let me have dogs. I think the earliest memory that I have about German Shepherds, I was about 6 years old. I would get my sister's tennis racket and play it like a guitar while I was watching the Roy Rogers Show. And I absolutely fell in love with Bullet.
Oh, yes. Was Ren Tin Tin around at the same time that Bullet was, or was Ren Tin Tin after Bullet?
Well, they were both around about the same time.
Okay.
But Ren Tin Tin was riding off with the cavalry, and I didn't care much for shooting guns. I'd rather cuddle up with fur.
So that began your love affair with German Shepherds.
Yes.
Now, how did Saber come into your life? How did you meet this phenomenal dog?
Because, to be honest with you, Donna, I received a blessing that I literally had not earned. He was beyond my wildest imagination. He knew what I wanted before I knew. For about, I guess, 10 or 12 years before him, rather than get the puppies that everybody wanted, I would take the older dogs, because the older dogs, to me, they were just, they were a song of the heart waiting to be sung by the right person.
Uh-huh.
And the look in their eyes when they realized they had a second chance was indescribable, and it just made me melt.
Now, how did he come into your life? How did you meet Saber in the beginning? And how old was he when you got him?
He was 9 months old. And about a year or so before, I had lost the German Shepherd that I had. And so I called up the lady that I got most of my dogs from for about 40 years. And she didn't have anything. But she had a friend who had just taken Saber back from a family that they decided he was too much trouble. And I said, of course, I'll take him. Well, she brought him up to Dallas, and I went to see him. And Donna, my heart stood still when I looked at him. He just seemed so perfect. But once he came home with me, he was a 9-month-old adult. The dog didn't do anything wrong, but he also didn't know how to play. I bought a bunch of toys for him and rolled one across the floor. He watched it. But he just stood there and looked up at me like, okay, what's next? So my first task was to teach him how to play. And we did. That's when we discovered squirrels.
Squirrels, okay.
That was a great discovery. I lived in an apartment in Uptown Dallas, which is just north of downtown. And, of course, we had to go out for walks 3-4 times a day. Well, I started giving him a little freedom when he was at the end of the leash. And one day, a very unfortunate squirrel darted across his path. Well, he looked up at me, and I said, go get him. Donna, that's the worst mistake I ever made in my life. He almost dislocated my arm. And finally, I just dropped the leash and let him go. And I caught up at my own leisurely pace. But he loved to chase the squirrels. And I think that was his first real taste of puppyhood.
When someone gets a puppy, especially when you have a 9-month-old puppy, and that it's been in a different environment than what is your environment, it doesn't take them long. Dogs are amazing. They will adapt fairly quickly. But with Saber, you had a dog that was like an old soul. And in your book, when you write about him, he has such an awareness of people and interacts with them. Now, Saber, fully grown, how much did he weigh?
115 pounds.
I have to share something. I want to share a story with you and the listeners today. The reason that I find this so interesting, you know, we had scheduled this interview. I had a speaking engagement on Friday, and one of the ladies who was an attendee had a German Shepherd, and we're talking about a big guy. He could have weighed easily anywhere between 130 to 140 pounds. He was a big, big German Shepherd, not fat at all, just a big guy, and he's one of the biggest I've ever seen. And he is a service dog. She has some physical problems, and this dog was accompanying her, and oh, just absolutely a joy. Well, he ended up stealing my show when I was speaking because she was in the front row, and he's such a big fellow, and I didn't realize that he had moved and that he was right behind me. So when I talk, I move quite a bit. So I ended up bumping into him. And he ended up having a conversation with me, which everybody in the audience just absolutely loved. But this, you know, these are such intelligent animals. And I know this woman, she had had the German Shepherd for a while, and he is like an extension of her. she said, there's just this tremendous, tremendous bond. And I know with my little Scotty Victor how much there's a bond there. And I thought of you, and I thought, here I've got this interview with you on the, you know, the Monday, and by golly, I've had this wonderful interaction with this German Shepherd, and I thought, this is a real demonstration of how breeds, especially German Shepherds, they seem to have such a bond that they form. They seem to be very, very loyal to a person, but Saber was really someone that had a fur person, that's what I'll call him, a fur person that had a heart that was so big that he just shared with everybody, but you really were his number one focus.
I was, but the most interesting thing was that once people found out that I'd lost him, he got more cards and letters than I've gotten in my lifetime of Christmases.
Mm-hmm.
People were simply devastated. I'd walk out the front door, and there'd be a bouquet of flowers. I'd get the mail. It would be full of cards because of him. He just touched people's lives.
Now, with Saber, there was something else that happened. And you ended up with another German Shepherd, and it was a female. And you didn't choose her. Saber did. Would you tell us the story about how you brought this lovely female German Shepherd into your environment and her name?
Well, you have to back up to Saber's three wishes. There were three things in this world that he wanted. He wanted his own human being. He got that. That was me.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted a home. So I bought him a home. And it just happened to have a house that was big enough for me to live in, too. But every time we would pass a puppy or another dog, he would whine. And it wasn't an agitated whine. It was a whine of longing. So I promised him once we got the house that I'd get him a puppy. Well, we went out to a kennel, and the first dog that I thought was a good candidate only paid attention to me. She wanted to be my buddy, and she ignored him. Well, I told the breeder, you know, this isn't going to work. She said, well, I have one more that you might like to see. She is very low on prey drive. She's very low on protection drive. And, in fact, the other German Shepherds pick on her. So we keep her with the border collies. When she brought her out, Saber took one look at her. She looked at him, and they bounded off into a grassy meadow and just ran themselves silly. They rolled, they played, they licked each other, they kissed. They just had a blast. Well, she, being a little younger than he was, lay down in the grass to rest. Did he lay down in the grass? Oh, no. He went and stood behind her and stared at me as if he was telling me, this is the one I want. So what else could I do? I got out mm-hmm. my checkbook.
But then it was
really funny, though, going home, because when I wanted them to get into the truck, she just hopped right in and laid down in the floorboard. He hopped around like he'd never gotten in a truck before in his life. And finally, I was able to get him up on the seat and into the truck. Well, all the way home, he tried to crawl up front with me. He wanted a puppy, but nobody told him he had to share the back seat. And he wasn't having any part of it.
Don't you just love it? But I'm always intrigued with stories that people will tell about how an animal picked them. Synchronicity, being in the right place at the right time, not unlike your story about meeting Saber and how he knew you were the person he was going to go home with. And I have stories like that to share myself. But what I thought was so special about your book, Angel with a Tail, were all of these little items, these little segments about this phenomenal dog, Saber, and how Saber had such a wisdom. And I've known people that have had police dogs that have talked about the same thing. And I know many people with different breeds, they will describe how there is that connection that the dog just recognizes what is right. And here you've got a situation where you wisely said, okay, Saber just doesn't seem to want anything to do with this dog, and yet as soon as he met this female puppy, who was considered low on all the protection instincts and everything else that typically German Shepherds are selected for because they are very powerful animals, this is one that was like, no, I'll stay in with the Chihuahuas and, you know, whatever else. I'm really not into that stuff. And here it is. Saber said, this is the one. This is the one. And Saber really understood this dog, even though he hadn't planned on being Papa to this little puppy. What was her name?
Lisa.
So here you've got Lisa. Now, they really became companions, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. The most fascinating thing was to watch Saber develop her. He would lay on the floor with her, and he invented a game called mouth-to-mouth combat. And they would growl at each other and make these horribly aggressive sounds. And each time they would play it, he would make it just a little tougher for her to win.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually developed her personality through his patience, through his loving, and a calculated plan.
Mm-hmm. It's just, see, anytime someone says to me, dogs are just dogs, and I've had people say this, they just don't feel anything, they're just animals. Well, my goodness, so are humans. We're of the animal kingdom, too. Somebody says something like that to us, how are we going to respond? I'll give you 3 seconds to figure that one out. And here we go.
I would even argue a lesser animal in some respects.
These dogs are just incredible. Now, Saber was developing, and these stories that you share on Angel with a Tail, I think, are just absolutely wonderful. What is one of the things that was most significant about the personality development that Saber helped Lisa develop?
Well, from being a very timid and shy pup, he taught her that she could win. And I know so many people that they don't even know they can win, and consequently, they allow the world to beat them up. Saber taught her not only that she could win, but he taught her how.
Mm-hmm.
And when we'd go for walks, one of the first things he taught her was to terrorize squirrels.
Oh, yes. Dogs love to terrorize the squirrels. They have a special, they've got a special agreement there. My Scotty does the same thing. He does it with the crows, too. They play this game. We watch them all the time. It's so much fun.
Well, I saw the first evidence of what he'd taught her when one night they both just went crazy at the back door. So I grabbed a flashlight and we went outside. There was a possum on top of the fence. Well, both of them jumped together until they shook the fence enough that the possum fell off. Now, with those tiny grabbing claws that a possum has, that took some coordinated effort. Nisa caught the possum before it hit the ground.
My goodness.
Oh, my mouth flew open. I'm surprised I didn't catch every firefly in the neighborhood.
Amazing. So she really learned well from Saber.
She did.
Now,
and
I want to talk...
she owned it.
Go ahead.
She owned it. The confidence wasn't for show. It was hers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about a disease that ended up affecting Saber. I had never heard of this. We hear so often about hip dysplasia with German Shepherds, but this was a special neurological disease that affected this magnificent animal. And will you tell my audience about it?
Okay. I'm going to refer to it as DM because degenerative myelopathy is, well, Donna, it's just too big a mouthful for a Texan.
Mm-hmm.
With DM, first off, it's not just a disease that attacks German Shepherds. It affects corgis, boxers, Labrador retrievers, Goldens, Great Pyrenees, a multitude of breeds, as well as mixed breeds. It is a degenerative process that starts at the end of the tail. The spinal cord actually disintegrates. One of the first signs is you look at the back paws and the two middle toenails are starting to wear down. It's because the nerve messages can't get through, so they don't pick their feet up. Then they will start to stumble for no apparent reason. They start to waver as they're standing, and eventually they fall. One of the saddest mornings was the morning that Saper, who always came to my bed in the morning when I was waking up, and his metronome tail thumped the armoire. So there was no doubt that I was getting up.
Mm-hmm.
That sad morning, the thump, thump, thump was missing, and I never heard it again.
Now, in the research on this, from what you talked about, and that's one of the things that I thought was so special about your book, is that you were wanting to convey information about this condition. And as you've mentioned, there are a number of different breeds. But degenerative myopathy, that is something I honestly, I had not heard of that specific type of a condition. And when in your book you describe how it progressed through his body and your vet told you that there was going to come that moment when you would have to make a decision about putting him to sleep, which none of us ever want to do with our animals. That's very heart-wrenching when you have to do it. But how long was it from the time that this disease actually showed itself? Because it's very progressive. It takes time. Sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's fast. How much time were you able to gain with Saber once that situation occurred?
It was 14 months. And what's interesting, Donna, is that this really isn't a new disease. It was actually identified during the same decade that hip dysplasia was attacked and people demanded that something be done. It was identified in 1973.
Oh, my goodness. Now, do they have any idea as to what is the trigger for this?
Well, it's different for different breeds, but with German Shepherds, it's believed to be an autoimmune neurological disease. So it sort of combines two systems of the body.
Now, you were able, the vet had told you, keep up your routine, but he also made you aware of certain signs, and he said, at this time, there is no cure. But you were very diligent about giving your dog nutritional supplementation and maintaining exercise as long as you could. Do you think this enabled Saber to have his strength and stamina longer than normal?
I really do, Donna, from his attitude. He was happy until, I guess, the last week. And this was at a point where it had progressed to the point where he could only drag himself from room to room. Mm-hmm. Only occasionally could he actually get up and walk. And the signal that he gave me was actually the decision. I didn't make it. He did.
Mm-hmm.
He'd always loved his dinner. Every time he'd eat dinner, he'd come tell me how good it was, and he would share the remnants that were left on his muzzle with me. On a Sunday night, he turned down dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had a funny feeling that night, but I sat down on the floor with him and offered him food in my hand, and he would eat it. But I knew he was only eating it to please me.
Mm-hmm.
The next night, he did the same thing, and I knew he was trying to give me a message. Mm-hmm. That everything had become so hard that he just couldn't handle it any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the decision. I didn't make it. I just listened to it. And I called the vet the next morning.
Wendy,
it was so tough. I couldn't even say the words. The vet
mm-hmm.
had to say them for me.
Right, and he knew, because he had been seeing Saber, and he knew you, and so he knew it was time. Wendy, your story of this magnificent dog, your female Lisa, there's even another story at the end of your book about a very special dog that was brought in after Saber left. There is so much heart in this book, Angel with a Tail, that anybody that loves dogs, whether or not it's a German Shepherd, anybody that loves dogs is absolutely going to be in love with this story. And I would like for you to let us know how we can get a copy, where people can be in touch with your website. Won't you give us that information so people can look up the information about you and Saber and anything else they might want to know?
The website is, just like the title of the book, Angel with a Tail, spelled TAIL.com. And if someone wants a copy of the book that's inscribed to them and signed, they can order it through the website. Or they can get it through Amazon.com, through Barnes & Noble. Any bookstore can order it. So there's lots of choices.
Well, Wendy Warren, it's been absolutely a delight having you as a guest. And as a lover of our four-footed or four-pawed friends, fur persons, as a very, very dear friend of mine used to call his beloved pets. I'm just so grateful that you've written this book, but I warn all of you, have that box of Kleenex handy, because your heart will be so full when you read this book and all of the various aspects of this wonderful life called Saber, a German Shepherd. It will be memorable. Wendy,
Donna,
thank you again.
I don't know if you have an additional minute, but there's a message I would like to leave.
And please
that
do.
Is, sometimes we have to touch sadness in order to understand joy. And if anything, from all the memories I have of Saber, it's the meaning of joy.
Oh, what a wonderful way to end our chat today. Thank you, Wendy, so much. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting to you live from Los Angeles, California. We're going to be back in just a minute. Check out Wendy's site, angelwithatail.com. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. For a minute, I thought here, being in Los Angeles, I was back home in the Pacific Northwest. It was pouring here. But as always in sunny California, you wait a little bit and the rain stops. It's not as frequent as it has been in the Pacific Northwest. It's the Golden State for sure because the sun is shining with all its might right now. Well, we have our telephone lines that are open, and if you would like to call in and chat with me, and I know we've got a caller on the line waiting, and I'll get to that caller shortly, the telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. This is Donna Sebo. Caller, a welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Stephen. I'm calling from Toronto.
Oh, hi, Stephen. You're calling from Toronto, Canada?
That's correct. Yes.
All right. That's wonderful. Welcome to the show. Now, Stephen, the first thing that I am getting, I find it interesting. I was seeing a lot of driving in a vehicle, and then quickly it flipped over to organization and time management. I think you're going to end up being a lot busier than you anticipate. And time management and, of course, organization go hand in hand. They're good buddies. You want to not overbook yourself. Wherever it is you're going to be commuting to, you must allow some what I call lead time or lag time, just in case you might get stuck in an airport or you might be on a freeway like I was here, where it takes you an hour to go 5 miles. So you don't want to go through those experiences. You want to be sure that you allow yourself some time. And also, if you have a big meeting and you've had a lot of intensity, give yourself a day, maybe 2 days, at the end of the event or the activity so that you can recuperate. You need to take care of your health. I'm seeing a fatigue that is so intense that you could easily fall asleep when you're driving. So you want to not put yourself in that kind of a scenario. Also, I'd like to encourage you to keep a journal, because you're going to be getting some ideas that may seem a little far-fetched, but if you have an idea journal and you just write this in there, you're going to find that within, let's say, maybe a year's time or less, you're going to be able to implement these concepts that have come into your mind. So I want to encourage you to really be aware that you are building some momentum, Stephen, and it is, you put in a lot of hard work, and it's starting, the momentum is starting to move. And just like a little itsy-bitsy snowball running down a long snowbank, it's going to get bigger and it's going to move faster. So be prepared, plan, watch your time management, keep your organization first and foremost, and make sure that you give yourself a chance to rest and relax. What question do you have for me today?
Well, thank you very much for that. I was wondering what you see for my mother. She's in the hospital right now with some symptoms of a TIA or a stroke possibly.
Okay, I'm sorry. Part of what you said I couldn't hear very well. I heard your mother was in the hospital, and
yes.
I couldn't understand the rest of it, Stephen.
She has symptoms of a TIA or a stroke, possibly.
Oh, well, she's already had a few of those. Now, I'm not saying that to be flippant, but I think your mother has already, I think she's had as many as 7 mini strokes. How old is your mom?
She's turning 60 this year. She has had some of these, what they call TIAs.
Mm-hmm. Well, for some reason, the body is trying to express itself. That's the only way I know how to say it. These little tiny strokes, and they're very tiny, and they could go on and on and on infinitum without really doing too much damage. But what is occurring is I believe that the brain is trying to process information that can, if the doctors are able to read it, they'll be able to see a patterning that's going on in the brain. And it is something that's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. So I would really like to see her with someone who has an understanding of the neurological processings of the brain. And we don't know, but just a tiny bit at this time, you know, in the real sophisticated sense. But this is something that has to be worked through. And your mother should be on a certain type of food program, not low fat. It's something where she's deficient in certain nutrients. So if she's on any kind of statins, any kind of medications, you need to educate yourself about this to find out what she should have in addition to what she might be getting with medicine. And a good naturopath might be able to advise you, someone that has a good medical background as well as has an interest in the naturopathic side as well, because those two combinations could really help your mom quite a bit. But there are supplements that she very definitely needs. But you need someone that can be more specific after the tests are done.
Okay. You do see her getting out of the hospital soon?
Well, I think she's going to get out of the hospital. I do also think that it's very important that your mother have an exercise program like Qigong or Tai Chi, something of that nature that is going to be very gentle with the body, that will help the body recuperate. She needs to go through some kind of therapy. Now, the brain can rebuild circuitry. That's a fact. They know that for a fact now. This isn't make-believe. It can do it. The brain is a lot more plastic than we realize. But she needs more than that. She really needs the nutritional supplementation as well. And, of course, she needs rest. But she's got to keep moving. And if you could get her some video games she'd like to play, that sounds a little childish, but I'm serious. I think she would be able to have that mental acuity that she was known for. And I think she's a pretty sharp gal, but it is something that you have to do those things so that she can recuperate quickly.
Okay. Yeah, she does do a lot of what you're saying, but I think the naturopathic doctor is a good idea, and she listens to your show, so I'll pass your advice along to her. Thank you very much.
I really would encourage it. I think it'll make such a difference with her. Such a tremendous difference. Well, Stephen, I'm just glad you called in. Thank you very much, and our regards to your mom.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
Thank you. This is Donna Siebel. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. I do want to make an announcement, and that is, regrettably, I'm not going to be doing the show live tomorrow because I'm taking a plane home and I'm going to be in the air. I haven't quite figured out how to do a show from an airplane at this point in time, but maybe one day we'll be able to do that. But with the circumstances, I've had to reschedule my guest that we had for tomorrow, which was Patricia Walker, Dance of the Electric Hummingbird is a publication. She's going to be on the air with me on March the 14th. No, excuse me, that's not the date. It's going to be March the 8th, excuse me. And that is how we've had to do it. But I'll be back in studio live on Wednesday, and we're going to be talking about How You Can Heal Yourself by Lynn Zimmerman. And then we're going to be having some wonderful harp music on Thursday with Twyla Edens-Worthy. She's just recently come back to the United States after being in Europe and playing there for a number of years. And then Lee Fortson is a woman that has this incredible book that she's put out, Embrace, Release, and Heal. It is absolutely amazing. We've got a great group of people this week, so I do hope that you'll make note and be sure to listen in, because there's just so many nice people out there doing so many good things. One of the things I wanted to do, because we talked with Wendy Warren about a German Shepherd, I wanted to share a story about a German Shepherd that I had had a wonderful experience with many years ago. His name was Baron. Baron was massive. This dog had to weigh 200 pounds. His head was huge. He was like a miniature horse. He was that big. He was bigger than a miniature horse. This dog was just unbelievably large. We had just moved into our home at the time in the Pacific Northwest. We didn't have a fence around our property, and we had our Scotty, Mr. Smoke. And, of course, we had to keep Smoke on a lead outside because we didn't have a fenced-in yard. Well, Baron was this gigantic German Shepherd that had been raised on a farm until his family decided to buy this home in this area that we live in Washington. And Baron would comb the grounds. People in the neighborhood, and we didn't have a whole bunch of people living there at the time, they were intimidated by this massive, massive animal. He had a bark. Trust me, all he had to do was give you one woof, your hair stood up on your neck, and your heart stopped. It was that deep and that resonant. Well, I don't know why, but Baron really liked me. And this dog was really intimidating, and I've never been to that at that point in my life, had not been around a dog of this size. He was massive. And Baron would just come around on the property and would do his rounds. And he didn't know whether he liked Mr. Smoke or not. And terriers are pretty feisty, and they are very territorial, naturally. But they'll stand their own ground. They don't care if you're King Kong. They feel that they're just as big, if not bigger, than whatever is confronting them. But he and Baron sort of got along okay. But I'll never forget this one incident. There was a man that was coming down the street in our neighborhood. He started to come into our driveway. I hear Baron barking. And it was a bark that was a very menacing bark, because it was a bark that had a growl right behind it. Well, I open my front door, and here is Baron right out at the end of the path leading to our house that's connected with the driveway. He's standing there. This poor guy is standing at the end of the driveway, and he asks me, "Is this your dog?" Because Baron was not on a leash. He never was on a leash. I said, "No, this isn't my dog, but I don't think you should stay here. For some reason, he's not too happy with you." As soon as that man started walking away, Baron turned around to me, made a slight noise in his throat, and I looked at him, and I said, "You didn't like that guy." The guy never showed up ever again. Baron was looking up for me. We had him as a neighbor for a long time, and then the day came when, sadly, I started seeing Baron looking very, very bad. And it just broke my heart. Now, I have to tell you, the animal intimidated me, continued to intimidate me, even though I knew he liked me. He was just so big. And he had this sound in his throat, and I just was overwhelmed by it. Well, I'd watch him, and I felt so sad for him. And I felt like Baron was dying. Well, one day, I was out in our backyard. We didn't have our fence up yet. My husband was in the process of building it. Baron comes into the backyard, walks up to me, puts his head up against me. Now, this dog, I'm petite. I'm about 5'1½". His head came up just above my stomach. He put his head up against me, up against my body. I put my hands underneath his head, and this dog said goodbye to me. Now, at the time that this occurred, this animal reeked. He smelled. He had been totally ignored, and I learned what happened later on. After that day, I never saw Baron again. It was about 2 months later that I was talking with the head of the household, the husband of this family that had owned this magnificent dog. I found out that the family went through a horrific divorce, absolutely horrific divorce. And in going through the divorce, they then found themselves ignoring the dog. This man had loved this dog with his heart. And what he found was that Baron was so unhappy, he knew that he was being sent to the pound. That's right. The husband couldn't take care of the dog. They were going to have him put to sleep. When the Humane Society brought the truck up, Baron jumped into that truck. And he said it broke his heart. But he knew, Baron knew, that he was going to be put to sleep, and he was ready to go. The family he had dedicated his life to and had loved had abandoned him, didn't want him anymore. When I heard that story, my heart was broken. But I really felt very special because he had made a point of coming over and saying goodbye to me. Animals are so special. They are so very special. Very incredible. And we need to be willing to listen. We need to be willing to be in touch with nature, because it does. It really does make a difference. This is Donna Sedivo. I'm broadcasting from California. We're going to take a quick break here, and then I'm going to be back. And my goodness, how the time is just flying. I'm so glad you're able to join me. I've got some special things to share when we come back, so don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprisin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprisin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprisin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it. Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, I'll tell you, down here in sunny California, yes, the rain clouds have disappeared and those golden rays are beaming with enthusiastic energy on everything and anything here in glorious, again, sunny California. And tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Good gracious, how did that sneak up so fast? Well, it's here, and I have a lovely little poem by Lily Shawn. It's called A Box of Chocolates Wrapped in Shiny Foil. Guess I better eat them before they spoil. Happy Valentine's Day. Oh, my goodness. And chocolate? I don't think there's a lack of any of it. In fact, if you wanted to do something fun and special, if you're in the northern climates where it's still rather cold and crisp and, like in the Pacific Northwest, rather drippy, where a hot cup of cocoa really is going to taste good, I found this, well, pink hot chocolate. Yes. How does that sound? Really simple. All you need to do is take white chocolate chips and juice from a jar of maraschino cherries. Yes, how about that chocolate cherry mixture? And it looks so pretty. So here we go. This is what you need. In a small pot, you put 2 cups of milk and you heat it over low heat until it's steaming. You don't want to boil it. You don't want that skin on it. So and then you take a 1/2 cup of white chocolate chips and put them in a bowl, and you want it a heat-proof bowl, and then you pour in the milk slowly and then whisk it while you're doing this so that the chocolate gets all melted and blended in there. Then also have 3 tablespoons of maraschino cherry juice and 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract handy, and add that in. That is good for 2 servings, or if you've got one of those super mugs, make it for 1 and just have that chocolate moment, and good stuff. Donna Sebo here. I know we're just about out of time. I do want to remind you that tomorrow, because I'm flying back home, I'm not going to be able to do the show, so we're going to have a Best of Donna, which will be with Betty Shoten, Liftoff Leadership. Absolutely wonderful gal and a great interview. I know you'll enjoy it. Don't forget, we're going to have How to Heal Yourself by Lynn Zimmerman, a harpist extraordinary, Twyla Edens Worthy, and then Embrace, Release, Heal, Lee Fortson. I'll be broadcasting to you live right from the Pacific Northwest again, leaving this sunshine. I wonder if I could hook a bit of it onto the back of the plane and tug it home. I sure would like to do that. Also, we've got some special events coming up this Saturday in the Pacific Northwest and Sunday, so I'll be filling you in on that on my live broadcast on Wednesday, and so much more that is evolving. I am just amazed at how much is happening, and so many different events and activities are occurring. In fact, even the planning for Quantum Mind 3. That's right. That's going to be coming up in April, on April the 24th. But we've got so much more to share with you. This is Donna Seabold. Remember always, you're the master of your fate, the captain of your soul. And remember, don't forget to really appreciate who you are as a person, and also appreciate all the other forms of life that are around you. Everything in life has something to offer in the way of a lesson and of wisdom and insight. And I think some of the finest teachers are our four-footed friends that are our beloved companions. This is Donna Seabold broadcasting live from sunny California, and I'll be back with you in studio on Wednesday. Don't forget to listen in on Tuesday for a wonderful show, a replay. Donna Seabold here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Seabold Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Seabold Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.